The epistle for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. You now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the gospel is taken that according to St. Matthew chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Just a consideration today concerning the gospel. And in the gospel we have the by the fruits you shall know them. The famous litmus test of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. No good tree will bear bad fruit, no bad tree will bear good fruit, and therefore we'll know what kind of tree it is by the fruit. And this is the litmus test of organizations or societies, like for instance the Society of St. Pius X, to which I belong. If it is good, it shall be known by its fruits. There will be souls coming back to God. There will be a betterment of the world and the church through our work. And if it is not good, the fruit will not be there. And it is also true of the individuals in our own individual spiritual life. By the fruit you shall know them. And so there is a kind of a looking towards the fruit, it seems, rather than looking at the essences and the principles and the causes. And as Catholics, of course, you know, we focus on essences, principles, and causes. And yet, Christ says in the gospel today, how do you know that the essences and the principles and the causes are all right? By the fruits, by the effects that are there. And so what are the fruits of the gospel? In the gospel, our Lord does not define them in the gospel today. He just simply says, by the fruits you shall know them. If they're good, then everything else must be good. If they are bad, then the causes are bad. And he says to back up this teaching that those who are living an evil life will not bear good fruits. Those that are living good life will bear good fruit. And so what are the fruits? What are the signs of the Christian life? And here, in another part of the gospel, we'll look at two passages. Another part of the gospel, our Lord says, how can you say that you love God, whom you do not see, when you do not love your neighbor, whom you do see? So the first obvious place of seeing the fruits of the Christian life, we are true Catholics and true followers of Jesus Christ, is that there will be an effect of that life or a fruit of that life in our neighbors. If we claim to love God, then we must love our neighbor. So that's one obvious example of the fruits. By the fruit you shall know them. First fruit is the love of neighbor. It's not the most important fruit, but we'll get deeper. The second one is going to be part of the love of neighbor, but it goes a little deeper. but the love of neighbor. That whatever is inside of us, if we claim to love God, then necessarily it is going to overflow into our neighbor. What is a good man? A good man is a man that loves God. A bad man is a man that does not love God. That's a very simple definition and the infallible definition. A man that loves God rightly and truly, not falsely, this is a good man. A man that does not love God rightly and truly is an evil man. Now, many souls, many Catholic souls, make a very grave mistake by saying, I need to work on my spiritual life. I need to work on me before I can work on my neighbor. So when I become a perfect saint, then I will start being charitable to my neighbor in a special way. Then I'll work on my neighbor, whether materially or spiritually. With regard to the passage today, what is Christ referring to when he says, by the fruits? What are the fruits? Well, first of all, we're going to say from the passage about the knowledge of the love of God that it's going to be seen in a neighbor. We're going to see whether or not I am a good man by the effects that are had upon my neighbor. But what kind of effects? Let me go to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. By the fruit you shall know them. A fruit is a kind of food. And a good fruit is a fruit that our Lord Jesus Christ will eat. And we find in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, with the story of the Samaritan woman, that there is only one kind of fruit that satisfies him. And he will say it in a secondary way, or in another way, on the cross when he says, I thirst. He does not thirst for gall and vinegar. When they gave him gall and vinegar, he would not drink it. He was hanging on the cross and he said, I thirst. They took gall and vinegar and gave it to him. He did not thirst for gall and vinegar. He thirsts for something else. And he is hungry for something else. It is that fruit that quenches the thirst of Christ. That fruit that quenches the hunger of Christ. This is the fruit by which we shall be known as to whether or not we are really the followers of Christ or not. And that fruit is in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. He went to the well. He was thirsty. He was going to drink. He had not a bucket. The Samaritan woman came to him. They had a long conversation, which we will not go through. And at the end of the conversation, she repented of her sins. She had 5 husbands. He told her, he let it be known that she had 5 husbands. She repented of her sins. She then went out into the city and told the people in the city to come and find the true prophet. The apostles came when our Lord was alone, and the Samaritan woman had already been converted, and she had already gone to the city. The apostles came with food, and they came with water. And they said, we have come here to bring you food and water. And he said, I am not hungry. And they said to him, what do you mean you are not hungry? You have not eaten for several days. But our Lord responded, I have food of which you know not. And this food is the salvation of souls. This food is a transformation of souls. There are 2 fruits that Jesus Christ is looking for and that he is referring to when he says, by the fruits you shall know them. And the first fruit is the conversion of a soul. A soul that is an enemy of God, like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, who is transformed into the friend of God. This feeds Christ. And the second fruit is the transformation of a soul that is in the state of grace, but then grows in the love of God. That's the fruit. Those who produce these kinds of fruits, they can claim in some small way to be connected to the gospel of Christ. Those who have no connection to either kind of fruit are not following the gospel of Christ. And if they say that they love God, there is something wrong in what they say. By the fruit you shall know them. Now it is obvious with the Catholic priest and with the religious, those involved in the hierarchy of the church, we are about the conversion and salvation of souls. As I mentioned in the vocation sermon of last week or 2 weeks ago, that the priest is wedded to souls. He is married to souls. He is married to souls in such a way that he is trying to bring souls to God. And his purpose is to go out among souls and bring them to him. So it is obvious in the case of the priest that his fruit is in his work. You will be sanctified by your work. What work? The work you do to put Christ into souls. So it is obvious with the priest, since that's what my whole life is about as a priest. Obvious with the religious. But it is the case with every single Catholic. You know, when you are confirmed, you receive the sacrament of confirmation. You say by that sacrament that you're a soldier of Christ. And what does a soldier do? He fights. What does he fight for? He doesn't fight for his country, so to speak, the land. He doesn't fight for money. He fights for souls to enter and live in the mystical body of Jesus Christ. He fights for the faith. He fights for these supernatural things. And he fights for them in the real world. So what does that translate to? If you want to love God, love your neighbor. It is necessary from time to time to help him materially. And that's good. But it is not sufficient. A little beggar comes and you give him food. That's good. You give him shelter. That's good. But that is not enough to be a follower of Christ. We are not about feeding people. Why? As Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, if we feed the body dies anyway. But if we feed the soul, and we give the soul Christ, it lives forever. And I am not about relieving poverty, said Mother Teresa. I am about bringing Christ to souls. And then we work with the poor. Why? Because they need Christ too. It is the bringing of Christ that makes us Christian, that makes us the members of his mystical body, that makes us followers of Christ, and it is Christ that is the fruit that we are after. Not only as a priest, but as a faithful and a head of a family and a wife and a father and a mother and children. Everyone who is baptized a Catholic must have a desire inside of him. Our church has four marks. It is one, it is holy, it is Catholic, which means it's for the whole world, and it is apostolic, which means there is something inside of a Catholic that makes him want to spread the love of Christ to the world. And if that isn't in him, there is something deeply wrong. There is something very deeply wrong. We are all going to die. But our souls live forever. And that soul is going to be with God in heaven, or it's going to be with the devil in hell. We want it to be with God in heaven. And if we really love God, we're going to love the creatures that he made, which is every other man and all the animals and so on. And we are going to want the other men to be with us in heaven. No one wants to go to a celebration alone. I was just speaking to a man in an airport the other day. And he said, I have to learn. I wanted to go on all these journeys. I always wanted to party, and I got all this money now. And I wanted to travel across the world. But it is no fun to have fun alone. That's our human nature. We want to share it with somebody. You don't want to travel the world alone. You want to share it with someone. Well, if we have the love of God inside of our hearts, we don't want to have that love alone. We want to share it with someone. You share it with your wife. You share it with your husband. You share it with your children. But you also share it with your neighbors. And here are some examples of fruits. If we really are the followers of Christ, how many of your non-Catholic friends, how many of your Catholic friends that aren't practicing the faith, how many of them have you brought to church one day? Why don't you come to church with me next Sunday? How many of them have you really talked to about the faith? How many of them, when they've cried on your shoulders, how many of them you've really given Catholic advice? The advice that the church would give, the advice that Christ would give, not the advice that the world would give. The world's advice is always the same. It's not your fault. You're fine the way you are. That person's rotten and evil. You don't need to improve. The Catholic Church's advice is always the same. You need to repent. You need to get closer to God. You need to improve. And they are opposite advices. And so, which advice do we give? There are many opportunities in daily life to bear good fruit. But only the good tree will bear good fruit. And sometimes we look too much on the shape of a tree. Well, this tree has beautiful branches, and it has deep roots, and it has wonderful bark, very lively. If there are not good fruits, it will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This other tree is very ugly. There's only a few branches. But if it has fruit, it will be saved. Our Lord says, by the fruits you shall know them. Who really is my follower? This mistake that we mentioned earlier, the mistake of, I must first become a saint before I can help others get to God. We need to get rid of that. Very often, it requires helping someone else before we can make the next step. All teachers know this. If I wasn't a teacher, I wouldn't know anything. But because I have to teach, I have to look one chapter ahead of the students. So the teacher is forced to study. You try to help another, and you end up having to help yourself. You go talk to somebody about the faith, they give you an argument, you don't know what to say, you don't know the answer, you have to look it up. Well, you should know the answer, and you should look it up anyway. But it's helpful when someone else is instigating you to look it up, because you have someone to help. And in this way, the mystical body grows. The mystical body of Christ, which is the church, is a living body. It is either growing or it is dying. And as a living thing, we want it to be growing. It is growing by the spreading of the faith and the spreading of the love of souls. We do what we can to benefit bodies from time to time. But that is not our goal. Our goal is to benefit souls. Bring souls to God. And so let's make sure that we look for the fruits of which Christ spoke in the gospel. The food that filled him was the salvation of a Samaritan woman. The thirst that he wanted was the quenching of his thirst with souls. And gall and vinegar would not help him. And he is hungry with an infinite hunger. He wants every single soul to quench his thirst. He wants every soul to be in his bowels, to be consumed by him. And he wants to be consumed by every soul. And we need to learn this love of souls, every one of us. And it will help us to love our own soul in the right way. And in this way, we'll be able to slowly overcome our sins and our faults. We'll be able to help others who have gone down the same paths, made the same mistakes that we have made. And even though there we are weak, and even though we are ignorant, even though we are foolish, we can still be used by God as an instrument to bring souls to Him. And He chooses to use these human instruments. He could have chosen something else. But when He chose 12 apostles, one of which is damned in hell, and Christ chose that apostle, the other 11 were cowards and weak until they were transformed by the Holy Ghost. But He made it clear from His own choice that He wants weak human instruments to be the means of spreading His love throughout the world. We are those weak human instruments of this time. We must always be aware of our weakness, but we must not be afraid, because it is not us. It is not me. It is one who speaks to souls about Christ that brings souls to Christ. It is He who is in the tabernacle. It is the power of His church. It is the power of His mother. And they never change their minds. And they never lose power. And they never lose conviction. And so I don't have to worry about doing everything right. I do the best I can, but I don't have to worry about doing everything right. God will fill in the gaps where I make mistakes. But we will continue and continue and continue to try to spread the souls, bring souls to Christ and Christ to souls. And that is not the obligation only of the priest. It is your obligation as well, because you're a member of an apostolic church. We will not be satisfied until one of two things happens. Until the day that I am dead and with God in eternity, or the day that the whole world is in love with Christ, and the whole world belongs to His church, and the whole world is obeying His laws, and the whole world is living heaven on earth. These are the 2 days that I wait for. And we will not stop on our work until one of those days comes. And we must all have that spirit as members of this church, the true Catholic Church. We must all try to bring Christ to souls. This is what's going to bring peace to our world. This is what's going to help us. And then I'll close it at that. So God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.